Once a month, we catch up with Zoe Harker. Morning, Zoe.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good to talk to you. Yes, so we were just having a little chat in the break there about our own experiences. And are you near Wales somewhere?
Yes, South East Wales. Yes, so we're not far from England.
Right, so you've got different rules from everybody else, haven't you?
Yes, we do, yeah. England made some sort of baby steps on Sunday evening.
Yes.
And we have people who work in England who live in our village.
Yep.
And of course, we have people the other way around as well. So you've got people crossing the border because we're quite close to it.
Goodness.
And apparently the police are policing the border as well, which is probably not helpful.
No. Well, as long as they stay alert, that's the main thing, isn't it, really?
So the English have got to stay alert, the Welsh have got to stay at home.
Yes, that's right.
There we go.
Anyway, right.
Here is mud.
On an entirely, it's not an entirely different subject, actually, because it has quite a link, actually, and this is about what has become known as Donut Gate, spelt without the G, if you're American, the G-H, and this is all about fat shaming, and you've written quite a big article on this, Zoe.
Yeah, so I wasn't going to wade into this. This happened about the 21st, 22nd of April. So a lot of companies at the moment, there's a heck of a lot of love for the National Health Service in the UK at the moment. And a lot of companies quite smartly have realised, I want me some of that love.
Mm.
So they're delivering stuff. And unfortunately, the only stuff that I've seen delivered, there's an organisation called Leon Restaurants.
Yep.
And they make salads with quinoa and, oh, my mouth watering. I mean, their stuff is just gorgeous.
Right.
And they've been delivering quietly to the NHS for ages.
Okay.
Right since the beginning, not making a big splash of this. If the NHS workers want to go in, because most of their outlets are in London, then they can have loads of money off the meals or free meals if they can afford it or whatever. So they've been great. The rest, it's been junk. So on about the 21st of April, the Royal Free Hospital, which is right in the thick of it,
know it well,
tweeted a picture of more donuts than you can ever imagine and said, you guys at Krispy Kreme sure know how to put a smile on our face. 1,500 donuts just delivered to our staff.
Right.
And then, of course, Dr. Asim Malhotra, who is a cardiologist, who has long been talking about the need to have better diets in amongst the population, just better lifestyles generally. He's very much into all the good things, sleep, not being sedentary, eating well, moderate drinking, not smoking, the absolute classics.
Yep.
And so he retweeted it and said, this is absolutely disgraceful. Feeding junk food to already overweight and obese staff. I'm going to forward this to the chief exec of National Health Service England, Simon Stevens, who previously, when he took up his job back in 2014, Simon Stevens has actually said, crikey, I've just realised I've got 1.3 million employees and 300,000 of them are obese and 400,000 of them are overweight. So
goodness,
he has long been concerned about the health of his healthcare workers. And of course, surveys show that you're more likely to take advice from a healthcare worker who looks healthy than a healthcare worker. Now, I remember talking to the head of the National Obesity Forum, David Haslam, once, and he's admitted a lifelong battle with his own weight, which puts him in a great position to be head of the Obesity Forum because he understands the problem. But he's also a GP.
Yep.
And he said to a patient once, we need to do something about your weight. And he said the patient's retort was, you're not exactly an oil painting.
Oh,
yourself,
my goodness,
doctor.
Me. Wow.
But that is how people feel.
Yeah.
So when somebody who is overweight or obese is telling them, actually, you're overweight or obese, they're like, okay, pot, kettle black. What's your point? So the impact of healthcare workers has an impact on the whole nation's health. And it's therefore vitally important that we get this right. And perhaps what most shocked me was that some of the most nasty, aggressive, vociferous replies that Asim got were from healthcare workers, were from doctors and nurses and even diabetologists. So there was a diabetes expert who pictured a little GIF of herself holding up a donut that was bigger than her. I mean, it's probably photoshopped. I don't know how she did it. It was quite clever. But it wasn't funny.
Yeah. And you're not saying don't give the health workers a treat. That's not the point of this at all, is it?
Well, no. What I always say when I'm on radio interviews, and not by you, because you get this, but I've been on BBC radio programmes, for example, talking about childhood obesity. And I say, I just wish people wouldn't be giving junk to their kids the whole time. And most importantly, I wish parents wouldn't be teaching kids that junk is a treat, because it's not, it's junk. Yeah. And then, of course, the radio host say, oh, you'd be a real killjoy, you know, it's only Halloween. And I say, yeah, it's only Halloween, it's only Christmas, it's only Easter, it's only birthdays, it's only some celebration at school, it's only cake day, it's only, you know, where do you draw the line? And we have to teach our children that junk is junk, it's not a treat. Because I try to work with adults. And let's say, I've done this so many times, I try to work with a female or male, quite typically female, 50s or 60s, and she has a bad negative emotion. Any negative emotion she has come to associate with junk food. So her boss is mean to her, she wants a cake, and her kids are playing up and she wants a biscuit, and her friend is seeming a little bit less friendly than she was and she wants an ice cream gatto. And it's because from the minute she fell over as a child, mum said, oh, don't worry, darling, have a sweetie.
Yeah.
And then she fell out with a friend when she was a kid, and mum said, oh, don't worry, darling, let's have a cake together, let's sit down. And we just have made this inextricable link between junk is going to cheer you up. And the junk food companies are at the forefront of it. They love it. They encourage it. But we have fallen for it.
Yeah, we're Pavlov's dogs, aren't we, in that point? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the Royal Free went and fell for it.
Yeah.
Krispy Kreme wanted to use you and all the love that your guys are getting at the moment to get some love back, and you guys went and fell for it. I mean, how stupid can you be?
Well, Zoe, there's a very interesting Spanish angle to this story, and it's one that you may not be aware of, and that is that the most vulnerable minors in the Madrid region have spent the lockdown, 3 months, in fact, is what they're planning, eating the menus of junk food companies, specifically until the end of the school period, according to a government spokesman. President Isabel Díaz Ayuso will not resume the nutritious food service for 11,500 minors from low-income families, despite many, many complaints, including athletes in Spain and all kinds of people. One of them is a company called Telepizza, and so they've basically been giving these kids pizzas every day. Some of the children who've been eating these menus have put on up to 6 kilos, and 17 nutritionists in a team have prepared a report analysing these menus, and the conclusion left no room for doubt that these ultra processed products are high in salt, sugar and fat. They cause the malnourished obesity because it does not provide the minerals or vitamins that the body needs. They produce what is called high palatability. In other words, you get satiated quickly and your appetite will start again right away. And the answer from the woman that brought this in: it's necessary to point out that pizza is one of the oldest products of the Mediterranean diet, and it's been consumed for more than 1,000 years. And in addition to carbohydrates, pizza is a source of various nutrients such as potassium, calcium, iron, fiber, thanks to the quantity of variety of foods that can be added to it.
Oh my goodness. And you could have all of those foods without the dough base.
So there you go.
Bringing nothing to the party.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the points that I made, and the fat shaming note that I've written is on Open Views. If you go to zoeharkham.com, it's my most recent post. And one of the points that I made is from my first writings back in 2004, when I first observed that we don't mix fatty stuff and sugary stuff in the same foods in real food. So I was helping someone in the village recently who's put on about 4 kilos during lockdown and is desperate to get a grip on it before we get unlocked, as it were. And I was pointing out to her, if I gave you a loaf of bread on its own, how much do you think you could eat? And she said, oh, not so much, it's a bit dry. I said, okay, so if I gave you a pack of butter, how much do you think you could eat? And she said, oh, I'm not even sure I'd start, that would be disgusting. I said, okay, let's imagine I take a warm granary loaf out of the oven and let you eat the bread and the butter together. She said, I've got no limit.
Wow.
And I said, because nature either provides carb proteins, which are grains, beans, pulses, fruits and vegetables, things that vegans eat, or nature provides fat proteins, which are meat, fish, eggs and dairy, things that vegans don't eat.
Yeah.
But nature doesn't put fat and sugar, fat and sweet stuff in the same foods together. So the minute we start adding cheese to a dough base, we have no limit. And those kids, that's exactly why you said, they don't get the satiety because they have it. There's too much glucose in it. Their poor little systems are going on meltdown. Body takes out too much glucose slightly. Suddenly their glucose has gone lower than it was before the pizza and they're hungry again.
Yes, absolutely
and
right.
And the serious thing right now, the other point I was trying to make in this fat shaming, now is absolutely the time to be doing something about obesity, because since we last spoke, the evidence on the current virus situation and obesity is only getting stronger by the day. And you've got things like a New York study that came out showing that those with a BMI under 30, you don't even have to be normal weight, overweight is actually showing itself to be perfectly okay at the moment. But BMI over 30 compared to those under, 6 times more likely to be hospitalised.
Goodness me.
Actually, that's with the BMI over 40, sorry. So for a BMI over 40 versus under 30, 6 times more likely to be hospitalised.
Wow.
And almost twice as likely to become critical.
God.
And in this study, critical was you end up in the ICU, you end up on a ventilator, you end up in a hospice.
Yeah.
To see out your final days, or you end up dying. And that was their definition of critical. And then a massive study has just been done in the last few days in the UK, looking at data for 17 million adults. And it again has found having a BMI over 40 had an increased risk of dying of more than double.
Extraordinary.
Now, we're hearing that children are pretty much immune to this virus, but there is one exception.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, we have seen, and it's barely into double figures in across various countries. It might only be a dozen children who have succumbed to the virus, but the commonality has been extreme obesity.
Mm.
So the last thing you want is for your child to become extremely obese. Don't panic if it's overweight or slightly obese or whatever, but extreme obesity is catastrophic with this virus, and we know this already.
Right.
And yet you'll see pictures of people caring in hospitals and so on, that quite honestly, now that you know that, you want to just wrap them up in cotton wool and say, I can visibly see that you are at risk. Please don't work on the front line. Please go home straight away and stop risking your life to save our lives, because extreme obesity is visible, and we've got to be honest about that.
And you also talk in your article, which is fantastic as always, that you go back to 2004, as you mentioned there, and there was a program made about obesity by HGV Wales, I think it was. And you had just had a book published called Why Do You Overeat? And you asked people who was happy to be overweight, and you couldn't find anybody.
Well, this was it. When the program called me up, and I was working as an HR director at the Welsh Development Agency at the time, I just happened to have written this book because I kind of had always had it there since I was at Cambridge University. And I'd actually been on a course at work. And at the end of the course, they said, right, make a pledge to actually do something that you've always been meaning to do, and no excuses, just get on and do it. So I said, okay, I've been planning to write a book, so I'm going to write a book. So I did.
Wow.
So I'm an HR director. I get a call from HTV Wales. Will you come on this program that we're doing on obesity tonight? And by the way, we're trying to find someone who is happy with their body, happy to be obese, because that's an important aspect of obesity to represent on the program. We want all aspects of obesity. And I said, I'm so sorry, I don't. You know, I've been trying to help people to lose weight for some time as a sort of sideline, or even at the at where I worked. I used to run lunch and learns.
Yeah.
And people could come along in their lunch break and we would talk about what food is and what nutrition is. And I was getting into it even then. I just was fascinated by it. So I turned up at the program and they actually had someone. And I thought, oh, brilliant. They've managed to find someone who's really happy with their weight.
Yeah.
Wasn't anyone from Wales, despite being a Welsh program. It's supposed to be only Welsh participants. They'd managed to find someone. I think she came from Surrey or Sussex, which is quite a hike.
Yeah.
So they'd chauffeured her over. And then it got to the point on the program when they wanted her to put in her her position of, oh, I'm really, really happy with my size and all the rest of it. And it wasn't any time at all before we realized she wasn't happy with her size at all, bless her. She had just realized that she'd been on so many diets that had failed her. She hadn't failed. They had failed her. She'd been given the wrong advice. And she just couldn't put herself through that again. So she just said, enough is enough. I just got to make some peace that this is who I am and this is how I'm going to be.
Wow.
But when she was asked, you know, if there were a pill that would make you slim and you don't have to diet again and you just stay slim, she's like, give me it straight away. I'm on it. So I still don't know anyone who wants to be obese.
It's almost like asking an alcoholic, are they happy to be an alcoholic, isn't it?
Do you know, that's a really good example, actually, because I think I think most smokers I know don't want to smoke.
Yeah.
And I'm sure most alcoholics don't want to be alcoholic. What they want is to go back to be that happy recreational drinker.
Exactly.
You don't want to be an ex-alcoholic who's not allowed a drink, and you don't want to be the alcoholic who can't function.
Yeah.
But I bet you long for the day when you could just have a glass of wine with friends and it was sociable and it was lovely.
And that was the end of it, yeah.
And that was the end of it. And we all want that kind of relationship that we might have had with food when we were a child. And if we weren't hungry, we didn't eat. And if we were hungry, we did eat. But as soon as you start telling children that donuts are going to make you happy and biscuits are going to make up for the fact that you've just fallen out with your friend, I am then doomed trying to help a 60-year-old to lose weight.
Yes.
Because what you then have to do, this is when my sort of two worlds collide, the HR director and the person fascinated by obesity and nutrition. You then have to work out, age 60, how to deal with negative emotions.
Yep.
And you should have been taught that as a child. It's so much easier to teach children everything. Imagine you can get to the age of 18 and you don't have this association with food. But not only that, you can cope with a negative emotion.
Yeah.
So a friend can fall out with you and you can process it. And it's like, okay, what did I do wrong? What can I learn from it? What did they do wrong? Don't take that on myself. And you're so much better as a human being entirely because you don't just crush every negative emotion that you feel by having a cake or donut.
Yeah, good words. Zoe, as we come to the end of our chat for today, people who are listening to this thinking, well, it's all right for them to be talking about it, but it's not that easy, is it? What's the kind of first and most immediate things that we can be doing right now as human beings to try and right these wrongs?
Yeah, well, I do really, really sympathise with that. But here's a really, really positive thought. So there are studies that have shown that even losing 5% of your body weight can make a significant difference to your health level.
Mm.
Now, you can actually lose 5% of your body weight in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You actually can. So for me, it would be 5 pounds or something.
Yeah.
Now, I know I'm very slim. But I could lose that if I had, if I had pneumonia for a couple of weeks, I would lose 5 pounds. You might think, oh, she hasn't got 5 pounds to lose. So then when somebody is a lot heavier, let's say then somebody is 100 kilos, you can lose 5 kilos in a couple of weeks. You really can.
Mm.
You really can.
Without going on a silly crash diet is what you're saying.
Without doing anything crazy.
Yeah.
Just eat real food. Just don't eat any added sugar.
Yeah.
No sugar. If you just said, right, I'm not going to eat a grain of sugar again, just think about what you have just cut out of your diet. You've put in one rule, you've just cut out cakes, biscuits, donuts, ice cream, biscotties, whatever, adding sugar to tea or coffee, adding sugar to anything, sugary cereals, most breads, apart from anything you can make at home. You've just made a massive step in the right direction.
Mm.
If you really want to then go the whole mile, say I'm not going to have flour either.
Yeah.
Take out white sugar and flour out of your diet, or any coloured sugar out of your diet. You will lose 5% of your body weight in a couple of weeks, especially if you've got some to lose.
And now couldn't be a better time to try it.
It can't be a better time, because it's one of the other things I say in my note is that we've always known that obesity is associated with things that shorten your life.
Hmm.
So particularly the very high obesity we're talking about, BMIs of over 40. And we're talking about type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease and respiratory conditions and high blood pressure and polycystic ovary syndrome. There's lots of associations. But one of the points I make is that they're not immediate enough. When the donut is in front of you, and we're all human, we're all weak-willed, we've all got our limits. You know, don't put me in a room with 1,500 donuts, because it's not fair. And it's not fair to nurses either. But it's not been that immediate. It's like, okay, I'll have a donut now and I'll worry about my weight next week.
Yeah.
And I'm a 30-year-old nurse. I'm really not going to worry about type 2 diabetes until I'm 50 or 60.
Yeah.
But COVID-19 is slaying 30-year-old nurses.
Yeah.
Because the other problem with the healthcare workers is they get a much higher viral load.
Mm.
And we are just beginning to realize that the amount of the virus you get when it hits you is important.
Absolutely.
And touching a handrail on public transport is way less risky than having some patient coughing and spluttering within your immediate surroundings, particularly then if you've got a high BMI, and particularly also if you're of ethnic origin that we've also seen to be high risk as well. So these poor healthcare workers, they're in this perfect storm of highest risk. And that's why we're seeing 30-year-olds dying in care homes and in hospitals, who, frankly, we should have been shielding in their own homes to make sure that that didn't happen. And this is going to be one of the tragedies that we look back on, that we should have been able to realise from about the end of March, when the evidence started to come out. Any death since then, in my view, is inexcusable.
Joey, as always, incredibly wise words. The article that we're referring to is on your website in full, zoeharcombe.com. And people can go along there and look at that and all the other very interesting articles as well. Really good, as always, to have you on. You stay alert and don't you go crossing that border.
I'm stay at home, me, apparently.
Don't you go to that donut shop the other side of the border there in England.
No,
you'll be in big trouble.
Doing that. Don't worry.
All right, Zoe, all the best. Take care of yourself.
Take care.
All
you
the best.
Too.
Bye-bye.